Welcome to HonestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today's question for you is, are you walking in the Spirit? Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 21, and we'll read verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The verses that we have just read, and some of the verses we will read later, contain some words that we do not know the definitions to. Most of us do not know the definitions because we will not turn the television or computer off long enough to look them up. How many times have you read over verses that contain these words and you just skipped over them without getting a full understanding of what the verses mean? Most of us end up airing our dirty laundry in public because it has not been washed by the water of the Word of God in private. You cannot live by something that you will not read and study to understand. Let us now look at some of those words which we have been talking about. Most folks know what adultery is, but adultery is a violation of the marriage bed, a crime or a civil injury which introduces or may introduce into a family a spurious offspring. There are 38 verses in the Bible that use the word adultery. Now, the word fornication is the incontinence or lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female, also the criminal conversation of a married man with an unmarried woman. It is also defined as sex between two persons not married to each other. There are 40 verses in the Bible that use the word fornication, most of them in the New Testament. The next word we have is uncleanness, and the definition for it is foulness, dirtiness, filthiness, want of ritual or ceremonial purity, moral impurity, defilement by sin, sinfulness, lewdness, incontinence. And then we have the word incontinent, and that means not restraining the passions or appetites, particularly the sexual appetite, indulging lust without restraint or in violation of law, unchaste, lewd. That's a pretty wide definition, folks. Then we have the word lasciviousness. That means looseness, irregular indulgence of animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness. And as an illustration, it would be Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. It is a means a tendency to excite lust and to promote irregular indulgences. It occurs 6 times in the King James Bible. In verses, let's read verses 17 through 19 in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. The idea that is put forth here is that they are so given over to their sin that they just cannot get enough of it. It is quite possible that the Holy Ghost brought to Paul's memory Isaiah chapter 5 when Paul penned Ephesians 4. Isaiah 5:18 says this, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with a cart rope. The whole picture in Isaiah chapter 5 is one where God's people were not satisfied with a little sin. We're bringing it in by the cartload. There are 6 woes pronounced upon Israel in Isaiah chapter 5 in verses numbers 8, 11, 18, 20, 21, and 22. Isaiah chapter 5 is a perfect picture of the wickedness and depravity that has almost totally consumed America. We are a wicked and perverse nation. Then in our passage we read a few minutes ago, the word idolatry. Idolatry is the worship of idols, images, or anything made by hands or which is not God. Idolatry is of 2 kinds, the worship of images, statues, pictures made by hands, and the worship of the heavenly bodies, the sun, moon, and stars, or of demons, angels, men, and animals. Excessive attachment or veneration for anything or that which borders on adoration. Witchcraft, that's the practice of witches, sorcery, enchantments, and also defined as intercourse with the devil. Take a look at what is going on around you. We need to wake up. We're being fed a little spiritual arsenic here and a little spiritual arsenic there. Christians in America have become so spiritually dumbed down that they will accept any form of entertainment coming out of Hollywood, which I call Hollywood, and out of Satan's sewer, the television. We've become so spiritually desensitized that we cannot even blush when abomination is committed before our very eyes through the programming which we should not be watching to start with. Practices straight out of the occult, and by the way, straight out of the pits of hell, are brought in to the church. There are so-called Christian churches that promote Harry Potter, white magic, black magic, yoga, channeling, and many other occultic practices. The so-called New Age movement has invaded the church with its mixture of the occult, Hinduism, Buddhism, and yoga. Also Freemasonry, Eastern mysticism, theosophy, environmentalism, science fiction, and so forth. Science fiction is used in television and the movies to promote the New Age polytheistic and pantheistic concept of many gods over many worlds. These are used to destroy the biblical concept of one God and one Creator who is to be worshipped to the exclusion of all others and who is over all. God said his name was jealous and that he would have no other gods before him, even an image of himself. Note what Acts chapter 17, verses 29 and 30 says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." God will have no other gods before him, not even images and pictures of Jesus. Our society is consumed with the spiritual cyanide of the occult, including witchcraft, wizardry, sorcery, including drug-induced devil worship, familiar spirits, the paranormal, and psychiatry. The filthy sewage coming out of the internet, cell phones, television, and movies is produced by devils and familiar spirits. Have you noticed the rapid and rabid increase in the last 20 or so years of television shows and Hollywood movies dealing with magic, witchcraft, wizardry, ghosts, New Age gods, and familiar spirits? Oprah Winfrey, a very popular television hostess, she's the high priestess of the New Age movement. She's a darling of Satan that is portrayed as an angel of light. She's a very popular individual. Witches, wizards, magicians, and sorcerers fall into the category of familiar spirits, and God strictly forbids his people from having any dealings with them. We're told to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. When you deal with these demons and familiar spirits, you are in fellowship with Satan and his devils. It does not matter whether the motivation is to provide activities, entertainment, and candy to innocent children. Many independent Baptists who would not even consider allowing their children to participate in Halloween will allow them to participate in Easter egg hunts. Halloween was satanically designed to celebrate death and hell. Pagan Easter festivities were satanically designed to exalt pagan goddesses of fertility, who in all pagan cultures were nothing more than the Queen of Heaven. In the pagan Easter festivals, the Queen of Heaven, none other than Ishtar, was celebrated with a consecrated egg, alcohol, and drugs, sexual promiscuity with open fornication, and sexual perversion, including sodomy. That should be enough said. Now, back to our opening verses in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 21, we get back to the term hatred. Hatred is a great dislike or aversion. Hate, enmity. Hatred is an aversion to evil and may spring from utter disapprobation as a hatred of vice or meanness, or it may spring from offenses or injuries done by fellow men, or from envy or jealousy, in which case it is usually accompanied with malevolence or malignity. Extreme hatred is abhorrence or detestation. The Apostle John has much to say about hatred in the book of 1 John. Let's look at some of the scriptures from the book of 1 John. First of all, we'll look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Now, 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath not seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Now, back over in the Old Testament, Solomon had this to say about hatred. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. That's Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. Now that word to dissemble is to disassemble the truth and turn it into a lie. Hatred is the spirit of the devil. Hate is the spirit of an unforgiven attitude between peoples, and that is the sense in which it is given in Galatians chapter 5. Hatred of your brothers and sisters in Christ is of the spirit of Antichrist. Might I also add that hatred of your natural family members is also ungodly and reeks of the stink of the spirit of Antichrist, because it makes you to be without natural affection. Now, hate is not always a sin. For instance, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Psalm 97, verse 10 says that if you love the Lord, you will hate evil. Psalm 101, verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And now for another word from Galatians chapter 5 is the word variance. And that means a difference that produces dispute or controversy, disagreement, dissension, discord. A mere variance may become a war. Without a spirit of condescension, there will be an everlasting variance. Emulation, another word from Galatians chapter 5. In a bad sense, a striving to equal or do more than others to obtain carnal favors or honors. It also means to contest, contention, strife, competition, rivalry, accompanied with a desire of depressing another. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says this, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Folks, that's what generates the rivalry that we just saw under the definition of emulation. Now in Romans chapter 12, but in 3 John verses 9 and 10, it says this, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And you see the what emulation, the problems of emulation can cause. And the ultimate comparison should be, how do I line up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and not how do I compare with my brother or sister in Christ. I am not the standard. You are not the standard. The standard is the perfect Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect word. If you're looking for a higher standard of living, try the holiness of God. It is the highest standard. Next up, we have wrath. And wrath is violent anger, vehement exasperation, and indignation. In Proverbs chapter 27, verses 2 through 6, we have this: "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Next, we'll look at strife. Strife is the exertion or contention for superiority. It is a contest of emulation, either by intellectual or physical efforts. Strife may be carried on between students or between mechanics. Contention in anger or enmity, a contest, struggle for victory, a quarrel or war, opposition, contrariety, contrast. And here's what God has to say about strife, folks, in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." That is James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Another word that we see in Galatians chapter 5 is sedition. And sedition is a factitious commotion of the people, a tumultuous assembly of men rising in opposition to law or the administration of justice, and in the disturbance of the public peace. In general, sedition is a local or limited insurrection in opposition to civil authority, as mutiny is to the military. Now, an example of sedition in the Old Testament was the rebellion against Moses by both Aaron and Miriam in Numbers chapter 12, and also of Korah, Dathan and Abiram in Numbers chapter 16. We could also go and look at the rebellion of Absalom in 2 Samuel chapters 13 through 16. Another term that's used in Galatians chapter 5 is the term heresy. And heresy is a fundamental error in religion or an error of opinion respecting some fundamental doctrine of religion. But in countries where there is an established church, an opinion is deemed heresy when it differs from that of the church. The scriptures being the standard of faith, any opinion that is repugnant to its doctrines is heresy. But as many men differ in the interpretation of scripture, an opinion deemed heretical by one body of Christians may be deemed to be orthodox by another body of Christian. Now, heresy in law is an offense against Christianity, consisting in a denial of some of its essential doctrines. Heresy is a directed, outright denial and repudiation of a truth plainly stated in the Bible. Heresy is a deliberate satanic attack on the very God of the Bible, since he is the Word of God. According to Titus 3:10, we are to reject heretics after the first and second admonition. Psalm 26 verse 5 tells us, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. We are to separate from heretics, folks. We are to admonish them. And then we have the word, next up is the word apostasy. And apostasy is an abandonment of what one has professed, a total desertion or a departure from one's faith or religion. That's from Webster's Dictionary. Apostasy is one result of the lack of teaching the doctrines of the Bible or the neglect to live by the known truths of the doctrines of the Bible. Apostasy is failure to conform to a known biblical standard or a biblical standard that should be known. In other words, apostasy is the result of failure to apply the truths of the Word of God. It's in the application, folks. That's where we see apostasy at. Many times apostasy is rooted in a lack of knowledge. And Hosea addresses that when he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Apostasy is also the result of a lack of individual discipline and a failure to enforce church discipline. It comes from a lack of desire to conform to the doctrines of the Bible because of yielding to the temptations of sin. It comes from a weakness in conforming to the Word of God rather than an outright denial of the truths of the Word of God. Remember that word heresy. Heresy is an outright denial of it. Then in Galatians chapter 5, we have the word envying used. Envying is feeling uneasiness at the superior condition and happiness of another. Mortification experienced at the supposed prosperity and happiness of another. It is also ill will toward others on account of some supposed superiority. That's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. And we all know what murder is. Murder is the unscriptural, sinful killing of another individual. By scriptural definition, capital punishment and scriptural wartime killings are not murder. Drunkenness is the next word out of Galatians chapter 5. Drunkenness is intoxication, inebriation, a state in which a person is overwhelmed or overpowered with spirituous liquors. In our day, it would include mind-altering drugs in what the Bible calls sorcery. And that term sorcery is used in the book of Revelation several times, and when it's used there, it is talking about drugs and the drugs cultures. Another word from Galatians chapter 5 is revelings, and that is the participation in nighttime drunken, carousing feast. And then we have this word from Galatians chapter 5, concupiscence. It is to covet or lust after, to desire or covet. Lust, unlawful or irregular desire of sexual pleasure. In a more general sense, it is the coveting of carnal things or an irregular appetite for worldly good and an inclination for unlawful enjoyment. We know even secret concupiscence to be sin. Romans chapter 8 says this, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence." And then we have meekness from Galatians chapter 5. Meekness is softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injuries and provocations. In the biblical sense, it speaks of humility, resignation, and submission to the will of God without murmuring or fretfulness. It is directly opposed to pride and arrogance. True meekness is exercising humility and gentleness in the power of God, the Holy Ghost. It has as its motivation the glory of God. Now, what is God's solution to the problem of not walking in the Spirit? Remember, we started out and asked the question, are you walking in the Spirit? The solution to the problem of walking in the Spirit is to pay particular attention to the following scriptures and to make personal application of them to your life. The problem is not my brother or my sister. It is me, O Lord. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, and let's read verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it is strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." Then we have Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says this, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." And then we have Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Remember, we're dealing with what is God's solution to the problem of not walking in the Spirit. And if you're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 constitute the longest passage of Scripture in the New Testament dealing with personal holiness. And then we have Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 13. If you want to be walking in the Spirit, it says this, starting in verse 5 of Colossians chapter 3. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also so also do ye. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 13. I would ask you this question: have you been forgiven? Luke 6:37 says to forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. The whole idea is that if you will not forgive, neither will you be forgiven. Now, how many of you are guilty of continuing to walk in some of the sins we have discussed today? If so, then you are not walking in the Spirit. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's what we see in Amos chapter 3:3. And of course, we know that we cannot walk together if we're not in agreement. And I would say this, that probably at any given point in time, I could look at your life and look at my life, and I could see where we've had problems with forgiving one another. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Then we have 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Remember, we're talking about how we can walk in the Spirit. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Then we have 1 Corinthians 14 through 20. 14 verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Then we go back to Galatians chapter 5 again and read verses verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I want to close out today with some questions for you. Are you being led by the Spirit of God in your daily walk through this life? Are you responding to the leadership of the Holy Ghost in your personal relationships, in the television and movies that you watch, in the internet sites you visit, in the way you use your cell phone, and in the music that you listen to. The Bible says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." If you are saved, your body is the temple of the living God. In all of your activities, could the Lord Jesus Christ join you in those activities and events? Are you being led by God the Holy Ghost in redeeming the time? Or are some of your activities stealing time and fellowship that rightfully belong to God? We must redeem the time because the days are evil. We must walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We must walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset thee. A true measure of holiness is what a man would have to stop doing if the Lord Jesus Christ were to enter into his presence. Walk in the Spirit and live in peace, power, and victory. Walk in the flesh and live in sin and worldliness, and you will live in fear, weakness, and defeat. Walk in the Spirit and you will have what the power of God can do. Walk in the flesh and live in sin and worldliness, and you will have what the power of your flesh can do against God. Walk in the flesh, and you might even motivate God to kill you, because there is a sin unto death for all Christians. We have today went through quite an extensive list of things from Galatians chapter 5, where we dealt with the sins of adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, incontinence, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, apostasy, envying, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and concupiscence. And what a sordid list it is, folks. And I would venture to say that at some point in our Christian lives, if we have not run into problems with that, I think probably eventually we'll be confronted with that. And then we have closed out today looking at the things that God expects of us as Christians, the things that we ought to be doing. And I would close out by asking you to look at yourself, and not just you, all of us need to look at ourselves and ask the question, are we walking in the Spirit? Thank you for joining us today.